Lesson 2. Every season. You always return on an April breeze with fragrance of jasmine and crimson oak trees. The seasons, they just move on, and my mind knows that you're gone. With autumn's cold, you never grow old. With winter's chill, I miss you still. As the season changes, my heart rearranges. When you left, I always knew, forever I'd long for you. But I've held on to your memory, and my sadness will always be. Every season, you come back to me. You always return with a starry night sky, a warm golden sunrise, a bright butterfly. I'm reminded you are free for all eternity. When fall would come, for years I was numb. My tears fell like rain, but spring thawed my pain. As the seasons go by, the memories don't die. When you left, from life I withdrew, and a piece of my soul died too. Life and death are a mystery, and my sadness will always be. Every season, you come back to me. My song Every Season describes the grief I experienced for many years. With every passing season, I was filled with poignant memories of sadness. This song was pivotal in so many ways. It holds a special place in my heart because it was my first completely new song written as an adult woman. This gave me confidence that I was a songwriter again. My rediscovery of music in 2010 changed my life. Composing Every Season was a huge step toward my healing. It all started when I wrote Jason's story 18 years after his death. I could remember every detail vividly. The process of writing about traumatic events in my life came during a time when my mother was very ill. For 6 weeks, she clung to life on a respirator, and being at the hospital every day caused past memories of trauma to resurface. I began to crumble as I felt overwhelmed by sadness and remembering Jason, especially how my mom helped me through my grief. Late at night, I poured out my feelings as I wrote messages to friends and family, updating them about my mom's condition. As a result of sharing my heart with those messages, I discovered my load was lighter. I received tremendous love and support as well. Slowly, my mom's condition improved. She was weaned off the respirator and eventually released from the hospital. I wanted to continue writing, but I wondered what I could write about. I remembered how I used to love writing song lyrics and music. I had written many speeches, but the saddest was Jason's eulogy. I decided to create a blog. My first stories were about reconnecting with old friends, and then I wrote about my living children. But I felt sad because I kept omitting my child who never had the chance to grow up. I slowly gathered the courage to write the most difficult story. It would be about Jason's life and death. About a month after I started my blog, I was ready to write about my grief. On a chilly morning with the rain pattering outside on the pavement, I started to sort through a dusty cardboard box from my closet, and inside that box were the special items related to Jason. It had been many years since I'd looked inside. I opened the box and gingerly pulled out papers and pictures. When I finished looking through everything, I could feel the words erupting in me. Every detail was clear as if he had just died, but I wasn't surprised because I had relived his death over and over for many years. Initially, I wasn't sure if writing was therapeutic. It was a lot like throwing up. I felt relief. I had finally gotten it out. But I still had intense spasms of sadness. I'm going to share an excerpt from that original story now. Books have been written about the stages of grief. I have lived all of those stages. The numbness was bizarre. There was no sense of time. Eating, sleeping, living seemed outside the realm of what it once was. There was no purpose for anything anymore. There was no way to control the endless parade of intensely painful, repetitive thoughts. It was too soon for me to be able to accept that my son's death was real. The most difficult moment of every single day was to wake up and face what had happened. I did not want to wake up again. I looked at the sky. Could he be there? I looked at a bird, at a butterfly. Could his soul be visiting me? I strained to hear his voice again. Was he calling for his mommy? There was no color in the world anywhere. There was nothing but shades of gray. Within a day, the weather became cold. It felt like the season changed on the very day he died, on October 6. Every year when fall arrives, I remember that he is dead. The fallen leaves represent his body crumpling into a pile of dust. Halloween came less than a month after he died. All I could think about was his skeletal body in the cold ground. The scary monsters were nothing compared to what I conjured up in my mind. The sympathy cards continued to arrive. The preschool took extra special care of my surviving son. He needed it. His mother had vacated the mommy premises. My husband went back to work. He never cried again. He did not want to discuss the fact that he had ever cried. He did not want to discuss his grief. He said to me, "I don't expect to feel one iota better, ever. I will always feel this pain for the rest of my life. There's no reason to talk about it because it will never change." Life continued for everyone and everything else around me. It did not seem possible that my life could get any worse. It did not seem possible that it could get any better. It was what it was. Empty, sad, excruciating, endless. Writing Jason's story not only released my pain, it also allowed me to become closer to many of my friends whom I had distanced myself over the years I was grieving. This was a step that eventually led to my rediscovery of music. One of my childhood friends asked me if I ever played my guitar anymore. I was surprised that I was receptive. With curiosity, I attempted to see if I could still play my guitar and remember songs I had written long ago. One by one, I rediscovered and revised all the songs written when I was a young girl. But after 2 years, I wondered if I were capable of writing a new song. I composed a beautiful instrumental with haunting chords. I didn't write lyrics for it right away, but somehow the music spoke to me months later. I named my song Every Season, and the words expressed the sadness I felt whenever the seasons changed. A year after composing Every Season, I noticed that I didn't feel sad as Jason's death anniversary approached. Summer eased into autumn gently that year, and for the very first time in decades, I was peaceful on the actual day of Jason's death. I wondered if it might be better to change the line "my sadness will always be" to "my love will always be." I tried singing my revised line, but even though it was truthful, I wanted to acknowledge my pain. Healing doesn't mean I've forgotten my grief and sadness. This song represented part of my healing journey, so I left it the way I originally wrote it. The ending mentions how Jason came back to me. Early on in my grief, I died with my child. Although I felt closer to him that way, it did not bring him back to me. I never could have imagined him returning to me and my songs the way he did. A few years after I wrote Every Season, I wrote a similar line into another song named The Key. This time I wrote, "You came back to bring me the key." I celebrated healing by leaving my prison of grief. The Key is the concluding song for this course. I look forward to sharing much more in the lessons to follow about how that transition came about. I went from writing songs addressing my grief and devastation to writing new songs about healing and hope. When I wrote the lyrics for Every Season, the image of crimson oak trees were very powerful for me. I'm going to share a memory I have related to them. There was a particular street that I didn't drive down for many years. It was easier to avoid it. When I saw those trees, I felt so much sadness. I remembered how there was once an autumn day when Jason wanted to see a red leaf up close. He didn't believe they were real with their intense crimson color. We drove down a few streets near our home searching for trees with red leaves. There were very few because it was early in the season. Then I saw some trees with crimson leaves that were dangling within reach. While Jason waited in the car, I carefully picked several. He examined those leaves carefully. His voice chirped with delight as he said, "Mommy, I love these leaves. Can I keep them forever?" And that was when I told him, leaves could not last forever. Everything becomes old and eventually crumples into dust. There I was, feeling wise as I taught him about life. However, my young child ended up teaching me far more. With this lesson, I've described how seasonal change triggered painful memories of happier times before my grief. Holidays and anniversaries of the heart march on throughout the year and intensify anguish during grief. Finding new traditions and honoring your grief might be more comforting than hiding your sadness. An example might be having a table setting for the loved one who is no longer there. Expressing my sadness and reaching out to others helped me greatly when I was grieving. Find ways to feel less isolated and lonely as you mourn by sharing your memories and talking about your pain. If you don't have anyone to listen, seek others who are mourning as you are. They will understand. Although I thought my sadness would always be, I didn't know that one day I would feel peaceful when the seasons changed. I like to use the word poignant. I feel both joy and sadness as I remember my angels. I'm so grateful I'm not suffering anymore. Opening my heart changed everything. I wonder if you could find a way to open your own heart to express your feelings.